Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, the birth of Jesus, the coming of God to Mary and Joseph, was an interruption on their plans and a disruption in their lives. See, Mary and Joseph, they had a vision for their, they had a plan for their future. They had set a course on which they were set to sail. Scripture says that they were engaged to be married. Now, y'all should know that engagement for them looked a little bit different than engagement does for us today. Engagement today is like a step before marriage, right? It's a plan of a future action. But in the ancient Near East, engagement isn't that same step as it is today. It's much more of a commitment. See, marriage back then, it consisted of two steps. The first step was that the bride and groom came together to make formal commitments with one another, with witnesses present to form the covenant. And then after this, the wife would stay in her own home or her parents' home for about a year until the second step, when the husband would take the wife into his parents' home and they would know each other. So the only way in the ancient Near East to get out of step one was divorce. So Mary and Joseph, they have this covenant together. They are husband and wife. And God throws in their plans what seems like a wrench and interrupts their vision for the future. See, the baby was not from Joseph. And since Joseph hadn't yet done step two and taken Mary into his home, with the news of Mary's pregnancy, Joseph had every right to divorce her and even have her punished. See, according to the law of Moses, he had the right to have her killed. Deuteronomy says this: if evidence of the young woman's virginity is not found, then they shall bring the young woman to the entrance of her father's house, and the men of her town shall stone her to death because she committed a disgraceful act in Israel, and so you shall purge the evil from your midst. That's their religious law. Think about Joseph for a minute. Think about the rage that he must have felt. The heartbrokenness and the shame and the embarrassment. Think about how hurt Joseph must have been to find out his wife is pregnant and it's not his. Joseph had every right to divorce Mary and have the law carried out on her. But he doesn't do it. He's forgiving and gracious. He understands that mercy, it triumphs over judgment. So Scripture says this: being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, he planned to dismiss her quietly. I mean, the marriage was still going to end, but it wasn't going to end with rage and vengeance and punishment. Joseph just wants it all to go away quietly. And almost as if God knew that God might be asking too much of Joseph, God sends Joseph a messenger, an angel, to help him out. The angel tells Joseph to take Mary as his wife. He explains the importance of Jesus, that Jesus will save people from their sins, that the baby will be called God with us, which will fulfill all of these ancient promises. That this woman who is promised one of God will make all things new. So Joseph allows God to interrupt and disrupt his vision of the future. Now I'm going to make a really bold claim here that I think is accurate. When God comes to you, God will interrupt the course of your life. When God comes to you, God will interrupt the course of your life. In fact, we need to be disrupted and interrupted in order to be saved. There's a story a while back from the Reader's Digest that I think kind of illustrates this. The writer writes, a Saturday night of Thanksgiving weekend, and the coconut grove was packed. Waiters were setting up extra tables to handle the extra diners. The overflow from the dining room surged down a narrow stairway to the Melody Lounge. The dimly lit basement bar offered a South Seas ambiance with artificial palm trees and driftwood, rattan, and a ceiling draped in a blue satin. The only illumination came from behind the bar, supplemented by low wattage bulbs hidden in the palms. But even this was too bright for one young man. He reached up, he unscrewed a bulb, and he settled back into his date's arms. Like many others there, he was in uniform, and it was 1942. The U.S. had been fighting World War II for nearly a year. Dr. Vincent Senna was having dinner that night at the Grove, and he was paged because one of his patients had gone into labor. Grumbling, Senna reached to the hospital in time to deliver the baby and save his life. Because after he left, for still unknown reasons, the coconut grove burst into flames and 490 people didn't make it out. See, the interruption that ruined Dr. Senna's evening saved his life. See, too many of us believe that God is this nice, calm addition to our lives that requires only minor tweaks and adjustments to our habits and our actions. Too many of us believe that we can just add God on to whatever we're doing. But what we're saying by that is that we want God, but only on our own terms. We want just enough to make us happy and healthy or whatever it is we want. But what we really need is God to disrupt our lives in order to change our spirits. We want God to come to earth and change everything, to make all things new, for the whole kingdom to come down in full effect. But in order for that to happen, we have to experience this God of disruption with the interruption of Jesus in our own lives. See, it's impossible for us to have hope that God is going to change the world or change anything until God changes us. We can't believe that God is going to do something outside these walls until God does something in here. See, I need the radical change of God to affect my life. Because it's only being in relationship with God that I understand true joy and true contentment and true love. It's only being in relationship with God that you will understand that you are lovable, that you are worthy of love just as you are, that you have this image inside of you that is divine, that you have the capacity and the strength through God to keep giving and keep loving and keep caring even when you get hurt. It's only being in relationship with God that we come to see the world rightly and differently with the eyes of Jesus and the lens of love. See, the God of all creation wants to disrupt the sin and the pain and the injustice and the systems of the world that oppress. God wants to disrupt and bring down any power and any government and any political official that goes against God. But in order to do that stuff, we need God to change us. We need the baby Jesus to come to us and to enter into our lives and our family. We need to believe the angel's word that God has come in flesh. When God disrupts our lives, it's difficult. God asked Joseph to take on a pregnant wife with a baby that was not his own. What is God asking you to do? Friends, may you have the faith of Joseph. May you experience the disruptive will of God. And may you be changed by Jesus so that you can change the world. Amen.